Live again, episode number two, RNV Court Thieves Presents. I got my homie in the red, Neil up top, Vessi repping. Vessi, what you got going on there? Repping that shirt. Ooh, I like it, I like it.
Appropriate for the subject at hand.
Vessi repping the ball. What's going on,
Colin? I got the WNBA hoodie, WNBA hoodie.
I like it.
Yeah, what up? We have for episode two, I know episode one was our big preview show. We got some ball, some actual basketball to talk about. Plenty of it.
Plenty of basketball because, yeah, when we did the preview, we were essentially nothing was played. The play-in was just kind of getting going, and now we are in I think we've got a sweep on the hand. We've got a couple game fours lined up. Before we start, I know you guys dropped it in the chat. I know, Neil, you mentioned the retirement of legendary basketball player, WNBA star, Tennessee Vol elite, Candace Parker. Take it over to you guys. What's thoughts on this legend stepping away? Not stepping away, but finally hanging him up after 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was coming. Like, she had some injuries over the last couple years, so she wasn't able to play at, you know, the level that she wanted to play at. But, you know, even just 2 years ago, when the Chicago Sparks, when they won the championship, she was out of control good. She had, yeah, and I mean, she was 13. She had 14 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. But just the way that she was still able to control the game, like, and it's just one of those things that, you know, her mind still thinks the game at that proper speed, but her body just wasn't holding up. I think she said she had 10 surgeries and her foot's bothering her. So, you know, just, you know, step aside and, you know, let the next generation come up. But, you know, Candace was a baller, man. She's probably in my top three in terms of women's basketball players of all time. My number one is still Maya Moore.
Me too.
But, you know, if you said Candace Parker was your number one, I'm not going to argue with you.
It's close. Also, I think it's between those two for me.
Yeah. I'd throw Diana Taurasi in there as well, if you want to.
Yeah, Sue Bird. There's a few people in there, but Candace, yeah, that last championship with the Chicago Sky, her hometown, right? That's
the Sky,
so
yes.
Cool. She came home, you know, she was a long time LA Spark. But yeah, getting that kind of at the back end of her career as kind of like the veteran head on the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a great all around baller, like power forward, I guess.
You could say that.
Played in the high post, great passer, first ever dunk in a WNBA game was Candace Parker. Yeah, I remember a crazy dunk too in the NCAA tournament when she was still at Tennessee. Yeah, won the MVP in her rookie year in the league. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty wild. After being the number one overall pick from Tennessee to LA, so yeah, what a legend.
I think she worked for ESPN.
Had some triple doubles. Like, yeah, what a player.
Legend all around. She won three, and I think she won three titles with three teams. She won with Vegas. She won with the
Sparks last year. She won with Chicago.
I think she won with LA. Yeah,
LA.
So she won three, and then like you guys mentioned, the MVP her rookie year. Was that the same year they won a championship too?
I think
no, she didn't win.
No, I think it was a couple years after. But she was, yeah. I mean, she came in the league, took the league by storm. And as was expected, I mean, she was highly touted from, like, she was dunking in high school and stuff. Like, you know, like she was, we knew it was coming with her and she delivered on all that potential. Just legendary. Shout out to Anthony Parker, her brother, not quite, the talent level of her sister. It's kind of like Reggie and Cheryl.
Yeah.
But yeah, one-time Toronto Raptor, her brother.
Yeah. Candace Parker. And she was the second person to dunk in a WNBA game. Lisa Leslie was first, her teammate.
Double L.
So yeah. So, and I mean, in her debut, she had 34, 12, and 8, which is still the record for a rookie in their debut game. So
yeah, she was kind of the LeBron of the women's game. You know, like I remember hearing about her in Sports Illustrated to age us about when she was still in high school and stuff. So yeah, as you said, 16 years and great in the studio now. You know,
she TNT, probably,
great in the studio, TNT, and stuff. Yeah.
So yes, hats off, salute to a legend again. We'll get into more WNBA as that new season kicks off relatively soon here. But before we get into that, we are out of college ball. We are into now what it's all about. NBA playoffs 2024. Things have kicked off. Where do we want to start, fellas? There's a bunch of series going all over the place. I know we talked a little bit about Knicks Philly because that series has been interesting. So let's talk Knicks Philly. One of you guys kick it off. Go ahead.
I floated this in the group chat as the series we would lead off with, just because so many talking points and storylines in this series. I mean, it's the Brunson and Embiid show. Game two, we had that wild Embiid yanking on, I think it was, what was it, Mitchell Robinson,
yeah.
Lucky not to get ejected.
That was wild dirty.
Lying on the ground, like pull on a dude's ankle. But then after that, manages to stay in the game and goes for 50 in their one win. And then yesterday, Jalen Brunson was out of control. 47 points, 10 assists. The first ever 40 and 10 for the Knicks in their history in the playoffs, which I found surprising, but I guess that's true. Too.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, he was just going to work. All those herky jerky, off balance floaters in the lane. You can't guard him. Like, he's 6 foot nothing and kind of chunky, and slow, but man, that touch, you know, it was on full display in the first half yesterday. You know, it's just like, he doesn't even have to get that close to the basket. He'd be like 10, 12 feet from the basket, and he just kind of like floats it up there. And his touch is so good. It falls in so much. So yeah, Knicks up 3-1. And I think in the preview, I think I may have called an upset in this series, but we had, of course, in the first game, we had that crazy, you know, we thought Embiid was gone. You know, he left the game, went to the locker room, came back, still dropped 30. So yeah, just a wild and crazy series.
And they needed all of those points in the first half. I think he may have had 27 or 28 in the first half, and they needed all that because nobody else could hit any shots for New York. And I mean, Josh Hart finished 0-7, 0-3 from three, but still ended up with 17 rebounds. Josh Hart is crazy in terms of,
he's like, what, being 6'5"?
If that. Probably, and he's just, he was just impacting the game. And Brunson, like, everybody was guarding Brunson at some point. And, you know, it also goes to show, like, Embiid, he needs to get in better shape. Like, he can't be 300 pounds anymore. He's just, there's too much weight for his body, and he's dying at the end of games. He can't do anything, he can't close the games. He should be closing games for Philly, but he just can't do it at this point in the season. So they might have to go back to the drawing board and work on his like off-season conditioning, because, you know, if he is who he thinks he is, and, you know, that's all great. You scored 50 yesterday. That's awesome. Your team are in game two. This is the playoffs. We need to see it again. You need to see it again. You need to put this team on your back. Maxi, you know, they could be doing more to get Maxi more touches laid on, maybe. Tobias Harris, I've just given up on.
Oh, yeah. He was brutal. He's like, he was missing bunnies, like layups and stuff. Like, what a joke. Like, is he supposed
to be
the
so
third
talented.
Guy? I know. Like, what happens to him in the playoffs? It's just brutal.
Is that the worst contract in the NBA history? Like, it's up there.
It's right up there.
It's up there.
It's definitely that contract he signed. What do we think some issues have been on the Sixers end? I know, obviously, we talk about Brunson. You know, Brunson's over there. Hart's over there. OG's over there. Is New York, obviously, you know, they're up the series. Is Philly playing that bad? Is New York playing that good? I know, you know, Embiid is obviously the one that's going pretty full throttle. Maxi, you know, he's trying to do his own. We haven't seen too much from Lowry. I think as he gets older, he's not kind of, you know, expected to kind of go out there and be that that maybe third option. Tobias, as you mentioned, isn't really doing anything. Batum had that kind of, you know, that one kind of crazy game where he went off. What does Philly have to do, or outside of Embiid, what does Philly have to do to put together something here for game five?
I mean, they're, as you said, they're not playing badly. Most of the, you know, the games have been close. I think Kelly Oubre has been basically their third scorer.
Yeah.
He's hitting some threes, and he's kind of a fuckboy reputation. But he's cooled off as he's gotten older, and it kind of accepted his role with Philly. He's a good defender too, especially on the, like, you know, on the ball, maybe not great on the switches. But he's gotten better at that too. So, you know, he had a good game. He had 19 yesterday. Maxi cooled off in the second half yesterday. He had a great first half, but kind of cooled off. You know, New York's defense is so good, right? I mean, Tibbs' schemes are so good. They get into you, you know, Hart and Hartenstein and Ananobi and Precious was great yesterday. Precious Achiuwa.
Precious was real good.
He had to play some big minutes because, you know, Hartenstein picked up a knock and got in some foul trouble. So, you know, he was great. OG, 14 rebounds OG. Yesterday, hitting some threes, the former Toronto Raptor. So
great defense on Embiid.
Yeah, I thought Philly could have pulled the mild upset here at the outset of the series, but as it wears on, it just looks like New York, they're just a more like well-oiled machine. They just like know they play tighter stuff. The Philly down the stretch is kind of just like, well, you know, give it to Embiid and let him cook, and which he can do. But I mean, yesterday DiVincenzo and Hart had down games and they still won because Brunson went for 47.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's basically it. I think it's just New York is they have a better team concept as opposed to like Philly, you know, when it comes, worst comes to worst, just get to Embiid and let him do his thing. But, you know, he's been struggling down the stretch. I mean, I think he was 0 for 7 yesterday in the fourth quarter, and he is 2 of 16 in fourth quarters so far in the series, and like that's not gonna cut it. Like basically their best guy has been better than Philly's best guy, and that's really the only, unless, you know, Tobias Harris finds something, but I mean we have a large enough sample size that we know that's not gonna happen. Unless Maxi goes for, you know, starts going for like 35 a game, I don't really see a pathway back for Philly in this series. You know, and then they're doing all the bitching about the refs and the officiating, and there's too many Knicks fans and the Philly crowd. Shut up and play ball, man. Like, you were the MVP last year, and you were the MVP on your way to being the MVP this year before you got hurt. And again, and it's always something with Embiid. It's always like, you know, now he's, and you know, not discrediting, like, you know, Bell's palsy, like, I don't want it, sounds terrible. You know, we've got that he's dealing with. He's got, I think it's his knee that he's dealing with. Well, if that's the case, either sit down and shut up or ball. Those are your only two options. And, you know, he dropped 50 yesterday. Cool. We need 40 today.
Philly got to do something about not letting as many Knicks fans in the building. I mean,
that was wild.
At Wells Fargo yesterday, it was, I think, a majority Knicks fans. Like it
was noticeable on TV.
Yeah, like anytime Embiid stepped to the line, he was getting jeered like loudly by the crowd. When good stuff happened for the Knicks, like there was like the crowd would erupt. So it was like at least 50-50 in the crowd. So the Knicks fans traveling. I was saying in the group chat, like in soccer, they have a small allocated section for away fans. Maybe the NBA should start thinking about doing that because the Knicks fans took over Philly's home court. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
And what about we haven't mentioned a lot, but when did they bench Buddy? Was that game two? Buddy Hield?
Buddy has disappeared.
I thought he was hurt.
I think he's hurt, but he got. I'm trying to think if he got. Did he get hurt after he got benched? I think they benched. He got. Jesus, I'm trying to remember that goddamn game.
Well, the thing is with him though is he has one thing, right? He's shooting coming off screens.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Like he is a black hole on defense. You got to cover for him on defense because he can't guard anybody. He's small. So I think in the playoffs, I mean, unless he is hot and like hitting mad threes, then I don't know how useful he is as a player in the playoffs. You know, like I hate to say it. He hadn't really fulfilled his potential coming out of. Remember there was like Steph Curry talk coming out of college. I was fucking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He played 11 minutes in game one, 15 in game two, 4 in game three. And then, yeah, it was injured game four. But I mean, it looked like he was moving that direction anyway. And ESPN,
I think they're just sitting him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, if he's not hitting shots, which, you know, if he could hit some shots, that would open things up more for Maxey and Embiid. But, you know, I don't need, like, he doesn't start right now over Kelly Oubre. They need something coming off the bench because he can't be out here depending on, like, I saw a campaign doing a couple, like, raising his hands and whatever. I was like, dog, your campaign, like, sit down.
Yeah.
Like,
New York's deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. New York's deeper. And this is especially after New York, Bogdanovich got, he played 1 minute yesterday and then got hurt. So they basically shortened the rotation down to 6 guys. And, you know, Tibbs ain't afraid to just run those guys into the ground. So, you know, you've got to match that energy. Tibbs is just, and yeah, Tibbs is out coaching Nick Nurse in this series so far, even if it's just a matter of getting your team motivated to play. And Tibbs is running circles around Nurse right now.
Yeah, so I think Sixers, I think they're on their way out. I think I don't see the Sixers winning 3 more.
No.
Knicks fans must be rejoicing. They've had lots of trouble over these last many, many years of trying to get something. So they got something to celebrate. So I'll give tips off to the Knicks. Brunson doing his thing. And Knicks fans, you got something to celebrate finally. So
it's fun when the Knicks are good. It's good.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The fans love Jalen Brunson too. Like I've never seen a fan base like love a player like this much. Like I'm hearing comparisons of like Bernard King for him. Like they're just skipping over the whole Mello, Ewing,
Bernard,
Oakley era. They're just skipping all over that and just going straight to Bernard King. It's like, all right, dog, you got it.
He's got to go.
He's well loved.
Let's keep it in the East. There's another good matchup that I think we both thought wasn't going to be all of us thought wasn't going to be so close. Cleveland Cavs Magic now sitting at 2-2. There was a couple early Cavs kind of took it to Orlando, you know, the first two games, and then Orlando kind of punched back. Banchero and Wagner are playing pretty well, you know. It sounds like if Banchero kind of slips, Franz has been picking up, vice versa, and then they both had a couple of good games. What are your guys' thoughts on what are you liking in this series, and why do you think the Magic have been able to kind of keep pace here with the Cavs?
Yeah, it's kind of like home court has proved to be the difference in this one. Magic couldn't score in the first two games, as you know. I think that's what we were saying in the preview. Is you know, if that was good, if their biggest handicap is scoring. Great defensive team. You know, everybody's 6'9". They can switch everything. But you know, Banchero and Franz are kind of their only elite offensive weapons, and Franz kind of had a down year compared to last year. So yeah, 83 and 86 Orlando scored in the first two games.
Yeah.
Those are some 1990 scores.
And then they put it on them game 3 and 4.
But 3 and 4. Came home and Paolo balled out in game 3, 31, 14, and 5. Such a good creator, you know, he's can score, can rebound, and can pass. And then yeah, Franz out of nowhere in game 5, 34, 13, and 4. For Franz Wagner in game 4. And yeah, hard to handicap where this one's going next. I think it could go 7. You know, it could come down to home court with Cleveland at the end, but Orlando has a momentum around now, so.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, it's Donovan Mitchell had 18 in the first half of game four, and then no points after the after halftime. Like, that can't happen. That can't happen on a team that needs his scoring. Like, he's easily, hands down, the best scorer on the team. Darius Garland, after, you know, put him in a trade rumor or trading him to the Spurs in the in episode one, he's been terrible in this series. You know, he's real bad in game three, marginally better in great in game four, but, you know, they need somebody else to step up, because if Donovan Mitchell isn't scoring, you know, 27 a game, you know, do you depend on, how much can you depend on Mobley? How much can you depend on Jared Allen? Like, you know, they just need,
they're not scorers, right? Yeah.
No, they're not. So, and, you know, so now it's just going to be interesting to see how this game goes when they go back to Cleveland in game five. Like, is home court really, really that big of a difference? Maybe it is for Orlando. Like, it's a young team. When was the last time they made the playoffs? It's been, they don't have a lot of playoff experience on this team. So maybe that's just it. Maybe it's just all about their playoff experience. But also too, I will say, this is a series that I've probably watched the least, because like, those first two games were terrible to watch.
Mm-hmm. I have logged the least minutes on this series out of the, what is it? 8 series. I've definitely watched this one the least.
Yeah.
No, it's just, you know, if Paolo doesn't have it going, if Paolo, Franz, Garland or Mitchell don't have it going, it's pretty gross to watch. But, you know, it's just, you know, two good defensive teams. They just need someone, you know, who's going to step up and be the best scorer in the series. You know, I can see Mitchell going for like 35 in the next game. But we'll see. It's just been, they're just dragging it down in the mud, these two teams.
Yeah, I think he'll be at the game. I think if, you know, they didn't get, you know, Suggs had that good game three. I think he had either 24, 25 in that game 24. Three. I don't think, you know, Suggs isn't going to give you 25 a game, but if he can put up numbers, you know, if he can give him 18, give him 20, I think that adds another little option, takes some, I don't want to say the pressure, but it is pressure, because, you know, Banchero and Franz are obviously young dudes, obviously is Suggs, like we've said, a young team. But yeah, again, I think, you know, this being 2-2 is a bit of a surprise. And, you know, if the Magic can continue, you know, those two guys can continue, and if Suggs can play, you know, relatively well, you know, Cole Anthony hasn't really done a whole lot off the bench. Who is Isaiah? What's his name? I can't remember his last name. He's got the Mohawk.
Jonathan Isaac?
There you go, Isaac.
Jonathan Isaac.
You know, he's obviously not an option on the scoring front. So, going to be interesting. Again, the series probably that all three of us have watched the least.
I think it's a great call on Suggs. I think if they can get 8, as you said, like 18, 20 a game from Suggs.
Yeah,
I really like Orlando's chances if they can get some scoring out of him, because he's a great defender.
Yeah,
wise beyond his years, knows where to be. So yeah, I think that's a great call. If they can get some scoring out of Suggs, I think maybe I like Orlando down the stretch of the series.
Okay, and that series is tied up right now, going into a game 5. Want to stay in the East, fellas? You want to go to the West? Where we want to go?
Yeah,
now?
We might as well stay in the East if that's how we're trending.
Yeah. Okay.
What do we got next? Bucks.
Let's Pacers. Do Bucks Pacers, because again, I know Giannis was out, but this is a
great watch.
It's a great watch. You know, Halliburton hasn't been up to par. Siakam had a phenomenal game. I think game 1 and 2. I think he had 37 and 36. But before I get it, let's break down this series, guys. What, obviously, the Bucks know Giannis. Middleton has kind of had his game up and down. What are your thoughts? What do the Bucks have to do? Obviously, they've got to put points on the board and win the games. But why are the Bucks struggling against this Pacers team?
No Giannis.
Why? No Dame either.
Dame
missed game 4, and he's probably not going to play in game. It doesn't look like he's going to play in game 5 either.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's rough. It's your two best players. That first game they got, which was a bit of a surprise despite the outburst from Pascal, who's been great. He's cooled off a little bit lately.
Yep.
But has been extremely competitive. Shouts to the Bucks. You know, like, I with no Giannis, you know, I thought maybe we'd see him mid-series, but still no sign of him. But yeah, the Bucks have made this very watchable. It's the games have all been close. Halliburton hasn't been like scoring, but he had a great game last game. He's kind of like sparked to life. Had a putback dunk, which I hadn't seen from him since coming back from injury. That kind of explosiveness, and what a passer he is.
He's still shooting with really bad, but
Chris Middleton. Shouts to Chris Middleton. You know, keeping them in this. I was saying to y'all in the group chat, slow, not strong, but he's just crafty, you know, like can get to his spots, can make tough shots over defenders, is a good passer. And just like, he knows the dark arts too, you know, like he can like, you know, shove a guy to make space or like, you know, do a little like forearm shiver to the ribs on the way by off a screen, all those little things and so he's keeping them close, but you know, with Dame, you know, he had an outburst too, but now he's hurt. Doesn't look like he's coming back next game. So yeah, and it's 3-1. So, you know, looks like Indiana's moving on, but I just, you know, wanted to shout out the Bucks for even keeping it competitive because they have been, but
they've been competitive. And even, I mean, listen, credit to the Pacers. I think we talked about it in the chat when, you know, Dame went off. Dame had 35 that first half. I believe that was in game one. And then second half of that game, zero. The Pacers are kind of like, listen, you first half, okay, but you are not going to beat us like that again. And they really put the clamps down and kind of locked that down. And yeah, the Bucks, obviously, again, yes, with a, you know, former MVP and Giannis, him missing out is a huge loss. But this series is over. But Neil, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it looks like it's pretty much done. Also, I want to give a shout out to Miles Turner. Turner has been awesome. I think he's averaging 24, 8, 3 assists, a block and a half, shooting 49% from the field, 50% from three on 8.5 attempts.
Awesome yesterday. He was the best player in the game yesterday. He was hitting threes, had a wild, like, posterization dunk, had a few blocks, like, fantastic yesterday for him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's because Brook Lopez can't contain it. Brook Lopez was also awesome yesterday, too. He had 27-9, you know, rolling back the years.
Hitting 30 footers,
Yeah, but, you know, if Turner wants to bring him out to the perimeter, Lopez has no chance. He just can't do that anymore. So, you know, but yeah, Turner has been awesome. Siakam was great the first couple games, still competing hard. Like yesterday, you know, he had 13, 9, and 7. So good all around game. But yeah, just Milwaukee, man, with no Giannis, it was always going to be difficult. No Dame, it's damn near impossible. So, you know, I think that this series is over. If they're both out tomorrow, this series is over tomorrow.
Doc, what's happening with Doc? What do you think happens with Doc Rivers?
That's a very intriguing question. I mean, if they go out in the first round, you can't keep them, right? I mean,
it's crazy to think that. Oh my God, this guy! It's crazy to think that this guy most likely, unless the Bucks, you know, this guy could be out of a job again. For I don't know how many times and whatever, you know, many years, it's kind of the merry-go-round that somehow he just keeps on getting back on after he's thrown off.
Well, how many early exits in the playoffs has he had the last 10 years or so, right? Like he hasn't made a deep run in a very long time, you know, with those Clippers teams and
Hasn't been out of the. He went to the conference finals with Boston in 2012. Since then, lost in the first round, lost in conference semifinals, lost in conference semifinals, so second round, first round, missed the playoffs, first round, second round, second round, second round, second round.
Yep. Hasn't been like, past the second round. Sorry, dog. Like,
yeah, still games passed you by. Jobs. That's crazy.
He shouldn't be coaching this damn team in the first. He even told them that he thought it was a bad idea, and they were still like, you want to know what? We don't have an option. Here's this money. I don't fault them for taking it.
No.
You know, if you want to give me $10 million a year to be shitty at my job, I will absolutely take that. However, you know, if I'm Giannis, like, you know, they got to go back in the offseason and be like, you know, this ain't working, because, you know, you can't waste another year of Giannis's prime on the fuckery that is their, like, I don't know what the deal was with Adrian Griffin, but like you couldn't make that work. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. But who's out there? I'm sure there are some good assistants that, you know, I don't know about, or like we don't know about, that could get a job. But it seems like they want to go with someone. That's why they chose Doc. They wanted to go with someone who was, you know, had experience, was a name. But, you know, yes, he has experience, but all experience ain't good experience, as I just noted by that track record.
They got to do something about that roster construction too. Like, what is that? Like, they're supposed to be elite defensively. They're not. Dame's gonna be 35 next year. Chris Middleton is in his 30s.
I was gonna say,
Middleton's like, an old 32.
Always hurt.
Yeah.
Brooke Lopez is like 38. So yeah, they're gonna need to, I think, maybe do some wheeling and dealing in the offseason to try to overhaul that roster around Giannis, because as Neil alluded to, you cannot waste these prime Giannis years. They got one title, but like, if you don't want to lose Giannis, you better surround him with some better talent, because this roster as it is constituted right now does not inspire confidence in me going into next season.
Yeah. Does Dame have what do we think? I mean, they're gonna, so they get, they lose, they lose game five, they get knocked. Okay, let's go next year. Possible new coach, probably new coach. Giannis is back. Dame's help. Is that window really getting, I mean, that, I think if Giannis is healthy, this was maybe the window to make kind of a run, but what does this look like now? Like you said, Dame is 35. He can still play, but I think, you know, that he went to Milwaukee to be with a contender, to contend for that title. What do we think is going to happen with Dame? He's obviously not leaving, but what do we think?
So I think, so I'm looking at the contracts right now. You know, they've got Dame and Giannis are both making maxes, so $48.8 million. Chris Middleton is making $31.6 million with a player option the next year for $34 million that he is absolutely picking up. He probably already picked that shit up. Like,
hell yeah.
Put that in. I'm taking that. And Brooke Lopez is making $23 million. You know, outside of that, like, that's a lot of money. So then you're just kind of like putting around, like, you know, keep Connaughton for, you know, what, $10 million a year? Sure, someone to make some shots, but he's getting up there in age too. He's basically an older version, an older, not as good version of Grayson Allen.
Do you float Dame on the trade market? Try to get a whole bunch of pieces back for him from somebody?
Think if someone takes a call, like, you're not telling anybody, you'll be like, look, I will deny this. I will deny this till the day I die, but tell me, like, offer something, see what you got.
You know, Caleb Martin,
really that good?
Caleb Martin and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and draft picks
to get Dame over to Miami,
like, because he wanted to go Miami in the first place when he wanted out of Portland, right? So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't see it's not working. And he's more of like a third option now. Like,
yeah.
Like, he can have those outbursts, but, and also too, if you do that trade, Milwaukee does that trade, what's Giannis like? You think I'm going to sit here and play with Tyler fucking Hero? With all due respect, and we'll talk to him in the next.
Yeah,
in
it's
the
a good
next,
segue.
but yeah, like, if I'm Giannis, like, do I want to do that? So then it's just like, you know what, man, just blow it all up and see what happens. Because, I mean, you can get whatever you want for Giannis. Like, name your price.
Lots to unpack there in that that Bucks the Bucks team going into the offseason. But again, Pacers up 3-1 into that series going into game 5, and I think the Bucks are, as Chuck says, going to Cancun. Number 1 Celtics, the mighty Boston Celtics. Number 8 Heat. Heat stole one here. What do we think, guys? What do we like? Thoughts?
I think that is the operative word, stole one. I mean, yesterday the Celtics just bullied the Heat on their home court. It's held them to 84 points. and, you know, could have won by more, but kind of coasted down the stretch. Game 2, though, what? I was saying, Tyler Hero point guard? Like, I did not know he had the passing gene until that game. He was driving and kicking and hitting cutters and scoring himself. And what a performance by Tyler Hero in game 2. Game 2 was just a case where they made everything. They hit all the
24 threes or 23 threes.
Everybody was hitting threes. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not really anything you can do when a team gets hot like that. Other than that, the series has not been close. I think the Heat probably win in 5. I think the Celtics probably win in 5.
Yeah, no, they completely stole that game. And, you know, they did make some I was actually just listening to Bill Simmons before we came on. And, yeah, he was noticing, like, the same thing. We all were, like, Miami doesn't have a point guard. No one was pressuring anybody coming up the floor in that second game. It was just, you know, Tyler Hero bring it up, Duncan Robinson bring it up, Yaquez bring it up, and everybody's just like letting them do whatever they want. No one was really, you know, the switches off Hero weren't as tight as they should have been, and then he was just, you know, he's not that good of a passer. He's not as good of a passer as he showed in that game. It was just Boston just kind of let him do whatever he wanted. Game 3 was more of the, like, Celtics were like, all right, we gotta start being physical and bodying these, because straight up, Miami doesn't have the horses to hang with Boston at all. Like, this series should be a sweep, but, you know, they kind of knuckled down in game 3 and, you know, started, you know, putting bodies on them, and, you know, Boston shot 30% from 3. Didn't matter. They just played much better defense. Like, what's his name? Jovic. He went off in game 2, and, like, that dude stinks. He is not a good professional, like, basketball player. But, you know, they just put a body on him, and, you know, he turned out that he was, you know, he is what he is.
Yeah, and in game, the last game, like, Boston didn't even play that well, like, offensively.
No.
You know,
no.
Like, it was Tatum and Brown each had 22. Porzingis had 18 on 9 shots, so, you know, very efficient.
That was his best game, because he played terrible.
Derek White filled up the stat sheet, as he usually does, all over the place. But, like, they basically shut them down with defense. I mean, that Boston team is an awesome defensive team when they really want to guard and switchable. And they got, you know, when Horford comes on, he's really good at orchestrating that defense from the middle. And calling all the shots and all the switches and everything. So, yeah, I think this series is pretty much done. And Miami will be lucky to win another one. I don't think they're going to win another one.
No, they need as much as, you know, Bam. Bam's one of my favorite players in the league. You know, Bam can't carry this team. And he definitely can't carry this team against the Celtics. You know, he's played well in the series, but...
No Jimmy, no Terry Rozier, and
Hero and Duncan Robinson. You know, he hasn't been playing a lot and hasn't been shooting, you know, that great. Again, I think we all agree. You know, Miami with the threes, if they don't hit them threes, this is a sweep. But 2-1 right now going into a game. Game 4, right? Game 4 is 10. Yep. When's game 4? Tonight?
Game 4 tonight.
So we'll see there. But, yeah, I think this series is going to be – it should be now. It's going to be interesting to see who the Celts get next.
They get the winner of Cleveland-Orlando, right?
Yeah, Cleveland-Orlando. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see.
I don't see them having much trouble with either of those teams either.
No. Nope. I think, you know, the Cavs probably have a little bit of – I want to say maybe a bit more size, but I don't. Yeah, they've got just too much firepower. I think, you know, I gave the Sixers my long shot. I think just to be against the Celtics going to the conference finals, but I don't think no one's beaten this Celtics team. Although it's going to be interesting to see what these Knicks can do.
Yeah, Knicks are the best chance.
Yeah. All right, should we move out west?
Let's move out west and let's see where do we want to start out west. I know what. Let's kick it off with the Clippers Mavericks, and then we'll talk about Anthony Edwards making his fucking name.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we start. Let's kick it off with the competitive series.
Since
that one's already done, shockingly. But yeah, Clippers Mavericks.
Clippers Mavs 2-2 going into game 5. Your thoughts, guys? This has been a chippy series as well, back and forth. You know, Dallas is doing what they can, you know, with Luka and Kyrie are doing their thing. Hardaway has not been great. Is he injured still now?
I think he's injured, yeah.
I think he had something with his ankle, so, but he hasn't played well before that. What do you guys like? What are you seeing here from both these teams so far? What's surprised you? What hasn't surprised you? And what do both teams need to do to now push this, especially in this very, very big, as we know, game fives are big, big, big games?
Well, first of all, before we start, I'm just going to say how furious I get, and it happens all the time with Harden and Luka, because all they do is hunt switches, hunt mismatches and whatever. And the whole fourth quarter yesterday was just Harden and Luka trying to get switches on each other because neither of them want to play any defense. but like, so Harden will have PJ Washington on him, then walk up Luka's man so they can make the switch. And then they just make the switch. And I'm like, PJ, why don't you just stay there? Why you know that's what they want to do. They want to get Luka on the ball. Why don't you just stay there? Like, and there wasn't even a screen by Luka's man. Like, I think Luka's man made, but I think it was Westbrook. I think he was just like kind of just standing there, like kind of in the way. But like, you can get around that. And I've been seeing it. I yell at my TV all year because you don't need to switch these things because you're just playing into their hands. And then on that play that I'm talking about, Harden beats Luka. Then it's a 4-on-3, makes the pass to, I think it may have been Westbrook at the elbow, and then he just takes two steps and throws a lob up the zoo. Like, this would have all been, you could have just sorted this all if PJ Washington just would have stayed his ass on Harden, and that's it. Anyway.
Fight through a screen. Everybody switches. This is like the modern NBA, and I get it. Like, when you have switchable defenders and everybody's 6'7", and everybody can guard on the perimeter, switching does make sense. As long as you're sharp with it. But when you have, when you're hunting matchups, when there are poor defenders on the floor, fight through his fucking screen. Like, stay on your man. Like, that's a great call. Like, PJ Washington is a great defender. And James Harden was cooking in the fourth quarter yesterday. Like, shouts to him. Like, Kyrie, that game was awesome. Kyrie went for 40. He fucking exploded after, you know, the Mavericks started like horribly. Paul George was on fire. Like, I think he had like 27 in like in the early in the second quarter. Was hitting threes, was hitting step backs. So smooth. I love watching Paul George operate on offense, just like so, like at his own pace.
He should be so much better than he is. Like, he should be
Luka,
higher.
Luka wasn't hitting anything. Luka wasn't hitting the first half. Like, he was awful. And like, I think I said this in the group chat. Is it just me, or does he look fatter every time I see him?
he looked in shape at one point this year, but it seems like down the stretch, like, he's gotten a little bit.
He looks doughy.
Doughy, yes, for sure.
A little doughy.
And you know, he's not an athlete, so his game's not predicated on athleticism. But it's not just the athleticism; it's the conditioning. And you know, he struggled badly down the stretch. Like, if Kyrie wouldn't have went off in the, like, I think it was the second quarter, and like late third quarter, like, that's a 20-25 point loss for them. But yeah, Kyrie's been awesome. I think the rebirth of Kyrie in Dallas, it has been awesome to see. He's a little bit, I mean, he's a knucklehead, says some dumb shit sometimes, says some wild problematic shit sometimes that we shouldn't let him, you know, get away with, and for sure. But like when he's hooping, like he's top five in the league to watch, man. Like
yeah.
from the
what
from
a watch,
the,
yeah.
From the pull up threes in transition, no one can stay in front of him. And when he gets to the rim, he's absolutely finishing over whoever you want to put on him. But yeah, they just, you know, they just kind of ran out of time and ran out of steam. Luka was, you know, Luka had 29, 10, and 10. And
it's great in the second yesterday.
Yeah, but 1-9 of 3. He does this sometimes where he falls in love with a 3-point shot when it's just like, dude, just bully your way to the rack like you've been doing. He got 10 free throws, you know, switch 3 of those 3-point shots out for 6 free throws.
And that's the other thing too, is when he gets in the lane, it opens up opportunities for shooters, yeah. You know, other guys. PJ Washington, I think, you know, we were looking for a third option on that Dallas team in the preview show, and he's been better than I expected in this series. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very like he jumps off the screen, you know, like yep. You notice him, like he's very active on defense and more athletic than I expected. I kind of like he can jump. Like I kind of thought of him as kind of like a grimy, like one-on-one guarder, but like, yeah, he's got some ups and has been a pleasant surprise for Dallas. And like, I have no idea where this series is going. This kid, you could tell me any permutation as far as where this goes down in the last few games. I don't know. Like, what do y'all think? Who do you favor in the last three games?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things where on paper, you're like, okay, the Clippers should have that offensive power, you know, with George, even though Kawhi's playing limited minutes. Russ, how do we think Russ has looked? It's been, you know, he had that one game, you know, towards the end. But I know, and Russ is back coming off the bench. What are you guys seeing with Russ that you like, you don't like? What's Russ have to do to kind of get himself going, get into the action a bit more?
You know, he was good in LA. He was good in the first couple games in LA. He's not been good since he moved over to Dallas. I think he's one of those players where it just kind of, once he starts to get the emotions of the game get caught up with him, and you know, Russ is real, real easy to set off. So, you know, what was it in the third game where him and PJ Washington was going at it, and there was that meme of PJ Washington standing there like this, like with him. What was that game? Yeah, that was game 3. But yeah, he's great off the bench. He gives, you know, that bench unit and then some energy. You know, he's always going to compete for rebounds. You know, it's not really the like quote unquote best player in the world anymore, but I think he's been fine doing a job. I think, you know, I think that if Dallas had someone like him on his bench, because really, like, you know, yesterday, you know, bench wasn't really that great. Derek Lively came on and, you know, did some rim running. He was 8-6 in 18 minutes, but, you know, also he is, you know, 18 or 19 years old, so, you know, you can't really depend on him too much. Josh Green was terrible. Maxi Kleber, they're trying to play him more, and I don't know why. Like,
yeah, he said
they want him for spacing, but like, you know, he's not really shooting. That he was 1-of-1 yesterday.
What happened to his shot? He used to be a shooter. He didn't even try to shoot anymore.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
yeah, no, yeah. It's not great. Just so,
Norm's
playing well.
You know, like he's a more I find he's a more dangerous offensive weapon at this stage of his career than Russ is, and the more consistent. Because he's a good shooter, right? You're pretty reliable from outside. I think he had 11 yesterday, 4-of-8, 3-of-5 from 3-point line. I mean, as you said, yeah, Clippers on paper way more offensive talent. You know, Terrence Mann, Norm Powell, you know, George and Harden. Like, and then Kawhi's, you know, they say it's knee inflammation or whatever, but like if they can get anything out of
minutes,
Kawhi,
yeah.
On, you know. It looks like the Clippers should win, but you know, Luka and Kyrie, man, those are the two best players in the series. You know,
don't keep them in it.
Yeah.
How big of again? I know, you know, Luka's still young, but this is a first round. Is it? What does Dallas look like? How does Cuban, you know, think if Dallas gets this first round, if they get bounced here in this opening round? I don't want to say, you know, too early to be panic mode. Kyrie's been there. Kyrie and Luka are just kind of, you know, gelling together. More to come from them. What, I guess if you're a Dallas fan, what are you thinking now going into this game five? Are you feeling good?
I think you feel okay. It's 2-2. You got, you know, they've split the games on home court and away both. I think if Dallas were to lose this series in a long, close series, if you're a Dallas fan, I don't think you panic. I don't think that's full panic mode. You know, you can make minor tweaks around the edges, try to build out the roster around Kyrie and Luka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gafford and Lively are promising bigs, rim runners that make sense as far as how they play, with, you know, feeding them on the pick and roll. Yeah, Kyrie and Luka get better all the time, learning each other's tendencies and where to find each other on the floor. I picked Dallas to go through on this series, I think, in the preview show. I'm less confident after seeing four games in that prediction. I might switch my pick to the Clippers on a slight edge. But I do think if Dallas goes out, I think if the Clippers go out, that's more of a crisis.
I was just going to say.
They have all those big contracts.
Yep.
All those guys are in their 30s. It's a win now proposition for the Clippers, whereas Dallas is younger. I feel like if they go out, you know, they'll be here again next year. And you know, maybe even better than they were for this year. The Clippers, they have to win this series. And I think they will, but you know, as I said, it's tough to call. I could see this going either way.
Yeah, I'm still sticking to the Mavericks for my pick. But yeah, you're right. Next year, like going forward, the Clippers are fucked more or less. Like they've got, you know, again, Paul George is in for next year. He's got next player option next year for 48.8, which he's absolutely taking up. It's just the Kawhi thing, man. Like Kawhi, he's getting 45.6 this year, 52.3 next year, 50 in 25-26, and 50 in 26-27. And you don't know if he's going to play. Like if I think if Kawhi is healthy, I think the Clippers win this in like six pretty handily. But like, you know, $50 million for like he can't stay on the court. Like
he played a lot in the regular season this season, but like he gets to the playoffs, he's not there. It's like, what do you do as a franchise? You can't plan around that.
No. Yeah. Yeah, so, and, you know, Harden's got, he's on his player option next year. He'll probably want an extension. You know, Dallas going forward, like, they can make some moves. Like, they can probably find someone to take Tim Hardaway's $16 million off their hands. I think they can keep P.J. Washington. Josh Green is making $12 million next year, and I don't think that he should be. I would give some of that money, like, even if you want to split it between Dwight Powell and Dante Exum. But, you know, they just kind of need one more, you know, 20-point game score around Kyrie and Luka, because that's, you know, you put those together, that's, you know, 75, 80 points a game. So, you know, and you can make up the rest after that. But the Clippers are also not going to blow it up either, because they've got that new, I think the new arena opens next year.
Next year, I think, yeah.
Next year. So, yeah, so you know Ballmer is not going to want to have, like, you know, this bum-ass team with this new arena. And quite frankly, I don't think that he cares about, like, I mean, people care about money and luxury tax and whatever. Like, Steve Ballmer's worth, like, 190, yeah. Like, some...
Your average owner might care, but Steve Ballmer does not.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he makes, like, a number that if you knew what it was, you probably think, like, that's made up. He makes that kind of money. So I don't really think that the apron and all that stuff, like, pays for it. But he's going to want to have to do something about the Kyrie situation, because if they could, you know, flip him for, you know, like, if shit gets disgruntled, maybe Giannis comes out there. Like, Giannis, Paul George, and James Harden, like, that's pretty fucking good.
Lots in the mix in that series. That series is tied up at 2-2. Game 5 runs it back Wednesday. I believe Wednesday at 10 o'clock is that game five. Going forward, I mean, the West, we've always known the West is usually the stronger conference, you know, over the East, but we have really, outside of this series, everything else is kind of OKC and Pels. OKC is about to sweep that one. The Nuggets and Lakers, I think, you know, Nuggets should close out tonight, game five. And we might as well, we can start and go quickly because bye to the Phoenix Suns with that loaded offensive group of Durant, Beal, and Booker. The young guns out of the West, led by that bad man, Anthony Edwards, who has been putting on a show going up against what he calls his all-time favorite hooper. Thoughts on this series, guys? This series went four up, four down. Suns are packing their bags and going somewhere. Man, Ant, I just, Ant, go ahead, guys.
Ant, unbelievable. Ant.
He's like crazy.
31 points in the second half yesterday. 31 in the second half. And he was just like on fire. Like, he's so much fun. Like, he might be my favorite player in the league right now. Like, he's just the personality and the athleticism, and he's hitting pull-up threes and he's dunking on people and he's setting guys up now. Like, bullet passes, pocket passes. Man, he is fun to watch. And you know, obviously the Jordan comparisons are stupid, but there is like an aesthetic case, you know, like his jumper, his fadeaway looks like Jordan's fadeaway, just like the way he moves and like the amount he fades on his mid-range fadeaway. You know, he jumps back like 7 feet and like that is an unguardable shot and he hits it so much. And yeah, man, Phoenix, like, you know, fucking Devin Booker went for 49 and they lost. So Carl Anthony Towns showed out yesterday. He had 28 in the closeout game. He's been up and down. But yeah, Gobert's been great. Nas Reed, I think they gave him the sixth man. He's been fantastic off the bench, hitting corner threes, great switchable defender and big man. So yeah, look out for the Timberwolves, man. It's a party in Minnesota. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to roll over Phoenix like this. And yeah, it's all like they have taken on, you know, Edwards is the leader of that team now. Like, there was always this, you know, he's so young and Gobert's got more experience in the league. Carl Towns has more. No. That's his team. And like he's the leader. He gets everybody in line. I'm actually just looking through Twitter right now, and apparently there's a clip like after the game. You're just like, you know, Carl Anthony's hit, like, and Towns is sitting right beside him. He's like, you know, Towns has been awesome. Like, that's my boy, but he's got to stop fucking fouling. And like said that like right there in the press conference, and he's right. Like, because Towns does some dumb shit sometimes. Like, he is the quote-unquote star that pisses me off the most, because I'm like, you should be averaging 27 and 12 like it's nothing. But he just does some knucklehead fouling shit all the time. But yeah, and Edwards called him out on it, because like, yo, Edwards is like, I'm gonna be here. I need you guys to meet me here. Like, if we're gonna have a chance at this, and you know, if he plays like this in the next series, like, you know, I'll give him a chance against anybody, Denver, Dallas, Clippers, like anyone, just because he's got that. He's also got like that a little bit of like maniacal Jordan, Kobe, like, I'm going to kill you. I respect you, like KD, my favorite player of all time. Been watching you since I was five and whatever. I want to destroy you. And you need that. Like, you need a player like that. And, you know, he's stepping up and the other players have followed suit. Phoenix, yeah, man. They're trash and they're in trouble. Like, they're screwed. Like, they can't really do anything. Like, KD's under contract, Beal's under contract. I don't know who his agent is that he managed to get his no trade clause carried over after he was traded from Washington. They still kept it in the next. Who is his agent? Like, is he doing some Jedi mind trick shit?
He was so he needs bad to run my yesterday life. Too. Yeah. His agent 9 needs points to... and he fouled out yesterday. Like,
yeah.
This is, man. Not Kevin Durant and Booker both were awesome. Like, they both all series, like all series, both those guys have done whatever has been asked of them.
Yeah.
You know, KD had 33-9-5 yesterday. He's rebounding, he's defending. Devin Booker's been up and down, but you know, what an outburst yesterday.
He's almost 30, like, he's almost 30 a game for the series. So
yeah. So like they're just not getting anything from anybody. You know, Royce O'Neal's starting, like he's supposed to be hitting shots. Nurkic is useless on the offensive end. Yeah, man, they put all their eggs in those three, in that big three basket, and they're only getting two eggs because Bradley Beal sucks.
He's real bad, real bad. Yeah. And then, like, you know, and then there are whispers going, apparently Stephen A. Smith reported that Devin Booker will apparently deny it, but he's been like sniffing around maybe going to New York.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. Imagine new MSG will have an orgasm if that happens. Like him and Brunson together, that makes too much sense, right? From an X's and O's standpoint, make it happen. Basketball gods, now, let's see it.
Yeah, I wonder what the Knicks would have to give up. But like, I mean, the Knicks, like, I mean, Durant, Beal, Booker, all under contract. Nurkic making $18 million next year, and that should not be a thing. Grayson Allen, his extension picks up, and then like once you get into the second apron, you've got restrictions on how much you can do in free agency. So it's like they're kind of pooched. Like they kind of don't really have a choice other than to blow it, or other than to go in with the same team next season, unless they can make a trade with one of these people. But you know, it's kind of a disaster, and they don't have, you know, they don't have anybody outside of Allen. Like, you know, who else is going to score on that team? Like, what, Nasir Little? It's supposed to be Eric Gordon, but I mean, if you're depending on how old is Eric Gordon, like 35-year-old Eric Gordon, then you are in a world of trouble.
Yeah, and Allen hasn't really played, you know, well all series. Like you said, it's KD's 35, I think. Is KD 35 now?
So, 35, yeah.
You know, they put that team together. Are they in a spot now again? It's, you know, these guys towards these superstars as they get towards the tail end of their career. You know, KD's not leaving to go play in Charlotte. You know, he obviously wants to still make something of it. But it's, yeah, some of these, these teams that kind of, it goes to show sometimes, you know, putting three, yes, offensive juggernauts. I mean, Beal, maybe at one point. Again, you said his agent. I want his agent to manage my life. I can guarantee you.
Right.
Now. I don't know what is going on. But that man, Beal's been stealing money from the league, I feel like, for the last 8 years. It is.
I feel like the big three, like that formula of getting three stars together, is it doesn't work anymore. No. Like you can't tie up that much of your roster salary in three dudes.
Yeah.
Because then you're not deep enough.
You can't do anything.
You don't have enough guys who can help out. You look how Denver does it. Like, that's perfect, right? You've got your number one guy who runs the whole squad, and then you got a guy who can fill it up next to him in Murray. And then everybody else is, like, you can spread the scoring around. You got Michael Porter Jr. You got Aaron Gordon. You got KCP. You got, you know, guys who are professional, like, basketball players who can start on any team. You know what I mean? Like, they're not superstars, but they're like guys who can give you 25 if Jamal Murray's having a down game. Phoenix doesn't have any of those guys. So I feel like that big three roster construction is a thing of the past that doesn't work anymore.
I mean, and you can, they'd have to go, you know, you can get like a big, like, you know, 2.5, but you can't get one that's paid like a three, like Bradley Beal is. Like, he's, you know, supposed to be a star. He's making star money. But, you know, he is at best, well, we see it right now, he is at best your third best option, and he's probably not even that. And it's only going up. It's going 46.7 this year, 50.2 next year, 53.6 next year, and then the following year, and then in 26-27, a player option for $57.1 million that, again, guaranteed. They're just waiting on the day. That paperwork's already submitted, and whatever team it is, like, yeah, I guess it's going to be a hell of an expiring in 26-27 when he's averaging 4 points a game.
wild.
Yeah, the Suns. I can, you know, anyway, Suns, Suns bags are packed. They are out. That was a little bit good segue there as Mike was talking about a little bit from the guys in Denver. We can quickly probably go over to this series. I think this is going as expected. I thought, you know, the Nuggets were going to close out game four. All series long, I feel like the Nuggets have just been like, you know, we need to get some run. So let's just come out slow and they can get up 20 and then we'll just chip and chip and chip and then tear them down. Again, guys, thoughts on this game? You know, the Lakers, after the Jamal winner, it looked like the Lakers just wanted to, you know, when you lose that kind of game and pick up and you just want to pick up your ball and go home. It looked like the Lakers were kind of ready to pick up the ball and just call it a series. Obviously, you know, they took game four there going into game five, but a miracle for the Lakers to come back. I don't think it's easy to say, you know, what do we expect, what we don't expect. Nuggets are doing what they're doing. LeBron is old. And AD, outside of LeBron and AD, the Lakers just, they don't have anything. Thoughts on this series, guys?
That's it, right? It's LeBron and AD been awesome. You know, it shuts the Lakers. You know, like they're playing well. Like, honestly, like these games are closer than I expected, but you never feel like the game's in doubt for Denver. You know, like they don't look panicked ever. You know, as you said, like the Lakers can get ahead 20 and, you know, the Denver doesn't, you know, Jokic just keeps it ticking over and runs that offense like a well-oiled machine. And you feel like no lead is insurmountable. He'll start hitting threes or he'll start going into the lane. What a scene with Jamal Murray disappearing into the bench. One of the all-time that will be shown for the next 50 years in NBA.com ad reels. He smiled and disappeared into the bench with that game winner. And yeah, I mean, the last game, LeBron was awesome. He was dictating the game. Was it 23 rebounds for Anthony Davis in the last game?
Yeah, 23, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they finally got some scoring from D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves in the last game, and I feel like that's the difference. In the first three games, those guys were basically, you know, I think D'Lo went 0 for 9 in one game.
Yeah, game three, you know, I think.
Reeves has been, you know, scoring in the teens, I think, for the most part. Those guys had a good game in game four, and they managed to nick one. But, this series is over. It's maybe the Lakers get one more if everything breaks right like it did in the last game.
Yeah.
And they get two monster performances from LeBron and Anthony Davis. But, the Nuggets are just deep. You know, so many weapons and built around the best player in the world. So, I feel like Denver cruises. I think they probably win game five and that'll be the end of it. But, shuts the Lakers. I really have to commend LeBron and AD in the way both of those guys have handled themselves in this series. Cause their team just is not nearly as good.
No, and that's just it. Like they're just not good. And you know, now they do have a glimmer of hope. Jamal Murray is questionable for tonight's game due to a left calf strain. So, I mean, that's what I was saying.
He's always a questionable injury guy, right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying in the preview. Like, it's, you know, can Jamal Murray stay healthy for 2 months? Now, I do think that they can manage to still get through that. Like, Jokic can put up, like, right now he's averaging, he's averaging for the series 29, 15.3 rebounds and 10 assists, shooting 60% from the field and 38.5 from three, and 92 and 93% from the line. So it's like,
Terrible stats.
He could easily just say, you want to know what? Well, Jamal's on tonight. Fuck it. I'm going to go for 42, 21, and 16. And okay, sure. Like, it'll hurt him. They'll need him for further down the line. Maybe the Lakers bad tonight. I don't think that they can win in Denver, quite frankly. I think Jokic is just going to just go off tonight because that also gives Murray a couple extra days to get healthy. I don't know who are they playing in the next round. Who Like, how's
it'll be the winner of the Wolves? I think it's the winner of the Wolves.
Oh Jesus!
Yep. Yeah, the yeah. Wolves so series. it'll probably be Denver or Minnesota, right? Because yeah. that'd be they're the 2-3.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah. Winner of that series. So, okay. Aaron Gordon though. Woo. Aaron Gordon, guys. Let's talk. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Gordon has been. I guess you can call it maybe a bit of a resurgence. He had that amazing game. But he is, it just feels like, and he talks about it a lot in his post games, how easy those guys make the game for him, particularly Joker. He's been having a hell of a series. He's been, you know, defensively, and offensively, he's just all over the glass. He's getting some scoring done. He's been
yeah, game
really
three,
well.
Right? 29 and 15.
Yeah, huge a game breakout three. Game. And defensively, really good.
And that was the difference. Yeah, in the Lakers' win is that Gordon wasn't scoring. Right, only seven points. They got Michael Porter, fantastic, 27 in the last game. But yeah, Gordon scoring looks to be a bit of an X factor. But yeah, I think he's the third best player on the team. Michael Porter's a better scorer. Yeah. But Aaron Gordon can defend five positions. There's very few guys in the league where you can legit say he can guard a point guard or a center. And he can, and like better than 90% of guys out there. Incredible defensive player. And has really smartened up on the defensive end since his Orlando days too. Was always a good on-ball defender, but is now a great cerebral defender as well. A fantastic third option for that team. Makes perfect sense as a cutter on offense for Jokic and Murray. Love Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, no, he just knows where to be. He just knows where to be, and he knows where to go. And, you know, you can count on like 6 to 8 points a game just off backdoor cuts that, you know, it's almost like teams don't watch film. You're like, he does it. 10 points a game just off backdoor cuts. Like, but the thing is, it's so quick. Like, he knows, like, as soon as he just sees one eye going like the other way, like towards Jokic, he's gone. And Jokic knows how to hit him. Also, and I know I'm taking this away from Anthony Gordon or Aaron Gordon, but that play when I think it was KCP threw the ball over Jokic's head. He didn't even see it coming. The ball drops in front of him and he just like touch passes it over to I think it was Michael Porter Jr. Like on the break, he did that. I can't remember. I think it was game three. He did that. And I was like, you want to know what? Fuck it. I'm going to bed. Like,
yeah, man, he does. He makes passes. He'll like every few games, he'll make a pass you've never seen before. Like, yeah. And he does this every few games. It's like, he'll do something. That's like, I remember one time he threw a couple seasons ago. He threw like a behind the head skip pass, like around the back of his head with, like blind, like 30 feet to the corner to hit an open guy. I was like, what? It's like Wayne Gretzky in hockey back in the day. You know, it's like, how does he see the passes? You know, like he's not even looking at them. Like,
and that's like, and Aaron Gordon kind of figured that out early and was just like, yo, just put your hands up. Just have your hands up and get ready, because if you are open, he will find you. Even if you're not open, he's probably still going to find you. So just be ready.
He had that nasty behind the back. That man, he had a behind the back bounce pass, and it was just, it looked like it was so smooth. Anyway,
everything he does looks so easy, right? It doesn't even look so like he's easy. Trying out there. He just keeps a straight face, you know, the emotions so like even keel, and just making these outrageous passes. Yeah,
goes to work. So yeah, I think that that game five tonight, expecting. Yeah. The Nuggets to close that out, but we'll see. But it's in Denver. I'm always like, if Lakers get out by 20, I'm like, it doesn't matter, because Denver's gonna slice and dice. So big, interesting game. Let's wrap
up. Also, one thing before we move on to the final series. Denver, don't let the Nuggets in your arena. Don't let the Jokic brothers in your arena.
Oh, yeah.
They might fuck you up. Actually, they probably will fuck you up.
Yeah, those dudes are crazy. I think I was saying in the group chat, there's some fucking mafia thug types straight out of Serbia, the Jokic brothers. They swing first, as you saw in the stand. If you talk shit, you're getting a punch in the face.
Yeah.
Those dudes are crazy.
Yeah, don't tell, like as soon as he took that step down, I was like, oh buddy, you are in for it now. And that dude better not be a sucker and try to sue him or whatever, because like whatever you said, you know, hey man, talk shit, get hit. Don't talk shit.
The brothers, Joker brothers, Serbia. You don't want to mess with, you know, Serbian Russians, all the training with bears and whatever the hell else.
legitimate ass civil wars and stuff. Like, you know, they ain't worried about your little USA hood shit. Like, they don't care about that. Like, sir, I had an AK-47 when I was 6.
Oh man. The last series, and I think again this is gonna end rather quickly, be a sweep. The youngest number one seed in NBA history, OKC. Mark D just won Coach of the Year. I didn't know that he was only 39. I didn't know he was young. Which he's
been there 4 years. So like he got hired, he was like 34.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe he's 38. He's under 40. He's 38. 39.
I think he's young. He's younger than all of us. We can say that.
He's younger than all of us.
He's 30. He just turned 39 in February.
So there you go. He's built. Him and Presti there are building. They've got, I don't know, I don't want to call it a dynasty because they haven't done anything yet, but they have got a great, great squad that's young and that's doing damage. And I know this NOLA team, I don't think no one was calling like an upset, even though these, you know, the Pels are young. You know, no Zion, CJ has been non-existent almost, you know, the whole series. Just, I think, too much firepower on OKC. You know, you got Chet there, obviously SGA, Dort defensively, just a monster. Quickly, guys, yes. Your thoughts on this series?
Shouts to the Pelicans in game one. They made it real interesting. Mm-hmm. Mucked it up, gave it to big Jonas Valanciunas in the post, and he was bullying dudes.
He was eating.
Right, because Chet, you know, is fantastic, but he's, I think, Valanciunas probably got about 100 pounds on Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, Chet's a little light in the ass.
I think he had, in the first game, like 20 rebounds, and he was eating. But they pulled it out in the end. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is so cool. Running that team. Chet's been fantastic. Jalen Williams, as we all love this guy.
Love this kid,
A great Swiss Army knife player. You know,
there you go, yeah.
Big, can defend, can shoot, can cut off the ball. Great third option. I think he's going to be an all-star soon, maybe even next season. And yeah, it's the first game was close, but it has not been close since. The other two games were blowouts. Practically blowouts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I expect it to be a sweep. They play tonight, I think. So yeah, I expect it to be over tonight. OKC is an interesting one. I don't know if I think if they were to come up against in the conference finals, either Minnesota or Denver, I would probably have them the underdog in both of those series, just because of the youth. But they're showing out, you know, like in this series, you know, the Pelicans have much more experience. You know, Brandon Ingram's playing fine. He's carrying the scoring load for the Pelicans. But yeah, with Zion out, they don't have enough weapons. And OKC's very deep, and SGA is like the third best player in the world. So that's what's going on here.
Yeah, no, and I mean, with no Zion, this was always going to be, you know, a real uphill battle for the Pelicans. You know, Ingram is, you know, doing what he can offensively, but Lu Dort is just hounding him all over the court, and adding some offensive as well. Like last night, or in game two, he stepped up. Lu Dort was 4-6 from three and added 15. Last night, he was, or in game three, he was 4-8 from three for 12 points, while, you know, just hounding Ingram all over the place. You know, JV, I love Valanciunas, but like, you know, the NBA is not played with big post scorers anymore. And, you know,
adjustments by Coach of the Year, Mark Daigneault, after that first game, right? And Chet, shouts to Chet, he's banging. he's stepped up the last few games and is been much more like physical and I think he heard some of the chatter after the first game and shouts to him, he's responded.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, you know, outside of that, you know, outside of Ingram, Valanciunas, you know, Trey Murphy, he's
good shooter.
Doing what he can. He's good. He's fine. Yeah, CJ, I don't even know what the shooting numbers are, but I feel like, you know, he made 22. He had 22 points in the last game.
He's shooting bad.
He's shooting bad. Yeah, he's shooting 38% from the field, 23% from three. So, you know, it's not great. And then, you know, you've got Shea. Shea is the closer. Like, you know, he didn't have a great shooting game last game. He was 8-for-20 from the floor. But, you know, he hits shots when it counts. And, you know, I think it's a good year. I still don't have them yet. Like you said, Mike, I have, you know, Denver above them, definitely Minnesota above them now, because I feel like Ant is the best player on the floor no matter who he's playing. But, you know, they've got some good pieces there in OKC for sure. Like, you know, they were the number one seed for a reason. Great coach, great front office. I feel like everybody who was shouting at them for picking up Gordon Hayward at the break as like kind of like their big move, they didn't really need to make a big move yet. Like, just see how far you get this year and then take the off season. And, you know, you've got 8 billion draft picks. You know, people want to play with Shea. People want to play with Chet. Jalen Williams is a player's player. Like, players all over the league love him. Like, they'll be able to flip, you know, Hayward's contract, Josh Giddey, and I don't know, name another player for – like, they'll get another piece.
It's going to be – I would love to see – potentially we could get down the road OKC Timberwolves matchup that I think everyone would think is that would be a real, real, real good series to see.
So how do the matchups break down? So it'll be OKC's the one.
OKC's the one.
Denver's the two, right? So yeah, it'll be OKC versus the winner of Dallas Clippers, right?
So I'm looking at OKC.
Yeah, so they'll get either Dallas or the Clippers. I don't know. That's going to be a tough matchup for the youngsters of Oklahoma City. No matter who they get, having to deal with Harden and Paul George or Luka and Kyrie, that would definitely be a big test. But OKC is deeper than both those teams.
Yes,
you know,
they are.
Like,
yep.
I think despite the youth. I think I have OKC going to the conference finals, you know, no matter the matchup in the next round. It could be either Dallas or the Clippers. And I think that would be a long series and fascinating series. But Dagnall's a great coach. So I feel like X's and O's wise, he'll have something for them. And with the roster makeup on OKC, they can custom make a game plan for whatever the opposition is, you know, defensively. They can throw different kinds of looks and guard and defensive styles depending on who they play. So, you know, despite the inexperience, I still think I would take OKC in a long, slightly favored them over whoever they get in the next round too.
I mean, in Dallas, like, you know, they play Dallas, like, they could throw Jalen Williams on Luka and Lou Dort on Kyrie and vice versa. And, you know, Chet's a great defensive player. Josh Giddey isn't terrible. And Shea can hold his own. There will probably be a lot of them trying to hunt Shea. But, you know, then he can do that on the other end as well. And then against the same with the Clippers, like, you know, they can put Williams on Harden and then Lou Dort on George and vice versa, and then kind of figure it out. Kawhi, I'm not even game planning for him. And then put Chet, you know, in the – just kind of let him roam the lane and help weak side.
We got a bunch of games down the stretch. And again, you know, that as much as it would be great for that OKC Wolves matchup, you know, the Wolves would have to get through Denver to make it there. I don't know if that's happening yet. I don't think so.
I still don't have anybody beating those Cats.
I don't think that's happening yet. But just, I guess, from a a young gun standpoint, what that game would look like. Maybe for future, what the future of the NBA is in good hands with these young guns all coming up to play, and some of the old guard getting older, and just, you know, it's not about not being able to handle it. It's just the evolution of the game. These young guns are ready, and they're coming. They're coming.
Yeah, I mean, think about this, y'all. Like, we are, like, us, we're getting ready to see, you know, LeBron's on his way out. Steph's probably not far behind.
KD.
KD is on his way out. You know, Kawhi is probably on his way out. You know, Paul George, James Harden. You know, Russi, you know, he's a bench guy now, but that man's a former MVP. Like,
all the guys we spent our whole adult lives watching since we were in our early 20s, they're all going to be gone soon.
Yeah.
And it'll be the new generation taking over. Yeah, LeBron in the offseason, it'll be very interesting. Like, I guess he stays there, but, like, they don't have no chance at winning the championship as currently constituted.
Yeah, no.
So, like, I don't know what his motivation is in the waning years of his career. Like, does he want a chip? Like, is he going to go join someone else, or is he just going to ride it out in LA?
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to get into legacy. I mean, he's, you know, it's...
Let's get into it. Let's get into it quick.
I guess, does it affect his legacy if he jumps somewhere again to, obviously a contender to win a title? I shouldn't say that. Listen, I'm not... You can hate LeBron all you want. His record speaks for itself. Whatever, he's played 20 years, he's played X amount, more than X amount. You cannot look at that man and say that he has not had an absolutely... For me, he's right behind Jordan. He's 1B. So I think he's stamped, you know, MVPs, you know, leading, number one scorer, all the accolades he has. But yeah, this is, I think, you know, Vess, you're right. It's, does he come back to LA? But the LA is not winning a title. And so it's either, you look at it, does he hang him up, or does he make another move? If he makes another move, guys, to another team, you know, thoughts, and where does he go if he makes a move?
Well, it would have to be somewhere who has a cap space, because he's got a player option next year for $51.4 million, which I'm sure he's going to pick up. You know, I wish that he would kind of take less so that they could kind of build a better team around him. That being said, far be it for me to tell anyone to take a pay cut for anything, because fuck money. But you know, this team currently constructed, like, you know, get D'Lo out of there, get Rui out of there, Austin Reeves keep, everybody else could probably throw away. But like, who do they need? Like, what do they need? Like, everybody says that, you know, they need another ball handler so that, like, it's not in LeBron's hands so much, but it's always in LeBron's hands. It's always going to be in LeBron's hands. That's probably the best place for it, because he's a fucking basketball savant.
He makes the right decision every time. Like, yeah. Even if he's physically diminished. I mean, look, it is amazing that they've even kept it as close as it has against Denver, you know, and that's down to LeBron. He knows how to play basketball.
Yeah.
They led. So I saw something out of the series so far. They've led for like 137 minutes. And I think the Nuggets have led for like 39 minutes of the series, and the Nuggets are up 2-1. They're just playing against a much better, like, you know, Jokic is the best player in the world, and that's the best team in the world. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. I don't think he hangs it up. And, you know, I think the dream of him playing with Bronny, I'd like to see what Bronny does this year at USC or wherever he plays. Like, last year he had the heart thing, and that USC team was a bit of a mess. So I'd like to kind of give him one more year to kind of see what it is. You know, that being said, I don't know.
He's 6'2" and can't shoot.
Yeah.
Like, man. He was a hot prospect coming out of high school, but this whole play with my dad thing, like, if I'm a GM, I'm not drafting Bronny. Like, even with a second round pick, there's going to be better guys. Like, I just don't, you know, maybe you do it for like marketing, you know, if you're LA and you can, like, you know, draft Bronny in the second round and have him come off the bench to play with dad. Like, but like, is that a real, like, are you really doing that? Like, yeah.
I feel like that would just ruin like a whole lot, because you know there's gonna be players on the teams like players on the team like, can you believe this shit? Like, this dude got his son here playing. Like, that's definitely not good for camaraderie. And you know, you're taking up a very valuable roster spot in this NBA that is wildly competitive. So, you know, I don't see that happening. He's going to college for at least one more year. If he does make it to the NBA, I don't think that it's, 2 years down the road? And
LeBron
41, 42?
Yeah, is LeBron playing another year after next year? Like, that's what's going to have to happen. Because, like, if he wants to play with Bronny, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be 42. Like,
lots to, yeah.
I mean, and he's still, like, I mean, don't get us wrong, again, like, LeBron is, like, see, keeping him in the series, like, he's averaging, 27?
He's going close to 30 a game.
27, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. And he had a really good season this year, but, like, how long can he keep doing this? Like, how long can he keep doing this?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's gonna be very interesting to see what
he's gonna be a fascinating rest of the playoffs and a fascinating offseason after that. Man, it's just like the league is just great right now. It's I love talking ball with y'all and having an outlet for basketball, because the game's just so healthy right now. You know, we're talking about Parker. The women's game is so good. The European game is really good too. You know, like, I'm a Barcelona fan on the soccer side, so I follow the basketball team a little bit. And the Euro League, I watched a little bit of that. Like, that's just a whole different brand, but also just fascinating to watch. So, like, the sport is in as good a place as I can remember in my whole life. It's just, anybody who's shitting on the game where it is right now are just old cranks are nostalgic for a past that's not as good as what it is right now.
Yeah, man, like, we all grew up in those, like, you know, watching those 90s games of, like, you know, 87-76 final score lines. And, like, we can all admit, like, that shit was trash, right? Like, I'm sorry, but, you know, I was making fun of, you know, who was I making fun of there? Like, Trey Murphy. Let's just take Trey Murphy, like, on the Pelicans. You drop him in the 90s, and he's averaging, like, 25 a game. Like, just based on athleticism. And don't give me all that, like, oh, well, the game was tougher and you could hit people and stuff. Motherfucker, this ain't MMA. Like, this is basketball, man. Like, get out of here. Get out of here. Stop it. You put KD in the 90s and, like, he's getting burned at the stake for being a witch.
Yeah.
it's the game is in a real, real good spot now, to the point that they're probably going to expand teams. Expand more teams, and there's more than enough talent for it.
There's a talent around the league. We're in good shape. Like all sports, you know, sports evolve. Basketball is one. And listen, that's just the name of the game. They're athletic. They can play. It's a different game. Yes, it is. But, you know, hockey's different. Football's different. All sports evolve at some level. And it just feels like basketball has the hardest chance, you know, letting go of that old game. But here we are, and this is, you know what, this what's happening now in some of these series is proven that, you know, the new game is here. So that's round one. You know, a lot going on. We're probably
next, so why don't we'll jump reconvene in partway through round two, we think?
Yeah, I think we can reconvene partway through round two. I thought it's just so tough to kind of catch this game after game with our schedules. So yeah, we'll jump back in, you know, hopefully maybe mid game two. Maybe we'll jump in and do a little, you know, maybe a little preview if we get a chance, but if not, we'll just jump in and do a second round. But we're gonna keep it rolling here.
Yes sir.
Thanks again, fellas, appreciate y'all. Thanks for everyone else out there tuning in. This will be up on YouTube where you can see video. And then Spotify and Apple, it'll just be audio. I'll take the video off of Spotify, Apple. For some people who just kind of like to listen, we'll make that audio only. And YouTube, you can see our beautiful faces and listen to us chat basketball. Owens, repping Owens, as always. Thanks again, guys. All right.
Peace
out. Bye, fam.
Peace. Until next time. Peace.
I got to edit that. Oh, here we go.